Oh, it's a good day today. It's the news, according to me. I have some good chai. Yeah, good morning. It is Thursday, August 15th, 9:57 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am your host, the guy who's not a doctor, not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. But I do know chai. I've got the chai thing going on. I've got, did I mention it's 2024? Election year. Yeah, I think I mentioned that. I have in my cup chai with Almond Joy creamer. And I also have a backup cup here this morning, which is, oh, it's good stuff. I have homemade sweet tea that I made at home. And it's good. It's good stuff. Now, having said all that, I have, by the way, the tea I had yesterday, the backup cup of tea I had yesterday was a peach tea. I don't think I mentioned that or not. It's a peach tea that was, it's called Hillbilly Tea. And it's from Runnings. It's just a single source bottle type thing. It wasn't a gallon. It was just a single serving type thing. Fairly good sized bottle. But it was okay. A little strong on the peach flavor. It's the kind of thing where if you mix about half of it with regular tea, it turns out pretty good. But it has just enough of a tea flavor that, or a peach flavor with the tea that you can still taste, you know, everything else. Oh, we had a lot of things on the show yesterday to talk about. And I really don't have an agenda at all today. I've been kind of perusing a few things in the headlines, mostly just listening to shorts this morning, which can take you anywhere. Those shorts just pop up, comedians, news, whatever. I think it's kind of based on your typical, whatever it is you watch on YouTube. It kind of uses that algorithm. Speaking of algorithms, unfortunately, it would appear that Google is in the tank once again for the leftists in this country. Now, I want to point out that there's some very serious thing. We are in an all-out war here, folks. It is everything but kinetic activity is happening. And you have to ask yourself why these people want so badly to be in power, which I think is there's a couple different reasons why they want that. One is they love power. They love that kind of thing. But the reason they can't at any cost give up that power, the reason they can't let go or allow someone, especially a non-establishment person, to win the presidency, to get in that position, is because they could be found out. Well, he's going to persecute us. A person who's guilty of something typically has this is like a paranoia reaction to Donald Trump getting into power here, into power, if we call it power, into the presidency. And it's as if they're foretelling that what they, a person says, oh, like, that person's going to do, they're afraid of what might happen to them. This is a fear reaction. And that fear has grounds in what they think should happen to them. In other words, they basically are calling themselves out to be guilty of something. That's why they're afraid of something. If you know you're not guilty, or if you know you're not going to be punished for your guiltiness, you're absolved from all that. You have no fear of anything. Anyway, it's a complex, philosophical thought this morning. I have few things to talk about. This whole thing about inflation, which is, it just kind of blows my mind. Economics, inflation, the whole thing. And again, I think that there's apparently now there's some actual, some folks in the media who are beginning to panic. They were all thrilled about the Kamala energy that came into the campaign all of a sudden. They were, oh, this is great. Oh, here she is. She's out there making these speeches. Oh, this is great. She's got all this activity. Then they find out she's only got one speech, and she says it in every single state. And everybody else is starting to hear the same speech over and over, the same taglines, the same gotchas. She keeps saying those things. When she's asked about inflation, she starts talking about what inflation is, not what she's going to do about it. And this is twofold. One is the elitists do not want inflation to stop. They don't care about inflation. Inflation is good for them because they have all these investments and the value of all their stuff goes up and they can destroy the dollar. The end game is to destroy the dollar because they want to go to a digital currency. And then they have total control of everything. This digital banking currency thing is not a cryptocurrency. It's based on nothing. The only reason it's based on anything is because the federal government calls it so, says it so. We have a digital currency now. Folks, not more than 90% of our currency right now is in digital form. We don't have that much cash out there right now. And it's exchangeable for nothing. You can't exchange it for silver. You can't exchange it for gold with the government, with the U.S. It's not backed by anything. It's just basically the government gives it value because it says it's legal tender and you can pay off all your debts. And mainly the main debt that they're concerned about is paying taxes, which is, again, a method of control. It's not a method of paying off anything. It doesn't pay for, your taxes don't pay for anything. Not when they're borrowing trillions of dollars. Printing money. They could completely do away with the federal income tax if they just stopped spending so much money. They could print the same amount of money and just stop spending as much, and you literally get away with the federal income tax, could be gone. And we're going to get into some of these things. One of the things I want to talk about a little bit is this whole no tax on tips. In fact, I'm going to jot some things down here just so I don't forget to talk about them. No tax on tips. As well as the whole issue of, Trump takes it one more step further. He talks about Social Security taxes, income taxes being gotten rid of. No income tax on Social Security, which I think that makes total sense. Perfect sense. Now, the other thing that's going on is this whole inflation thing and the whole money system. And we're going to talk about that first because inflation is something that does not affect most rich people other than it actually benefits them more than it hurts them. The average working class person out there, middle class working, even if you're upper middle class, and the ones that they really, really hate, they're trying to destroy, is the upper middle class. They always put this cap on 400,000 or more, up 400,000 or more. You make more than $400,000 a year. It's just, oh, yeah, tax you to death. Oh, yeah, you're really rich. You know, but what most people don't understand is if you're making more than $400,000 a year, if you're working in a job where you're exchanging your time, this isn't the Warren Buffetts of the world who are out there dealing with, you know, moving millions and billions of dollars around. They don't live on a salary. They don't get a salary. And when he comes out and brazenly says, I pay less income tax than my income tax rate is less than my secretary. Well, let's hear some more details on that, Mr. Buffett. Give us a few more details on how that works. They just throw those kinds of statements out there and don't tell you exactly why that is or what he even means by that. Because he's lying through his teeth, and let's just put it this way, he's being very deceptive in saying those kinds of things. And the progressives love that kind of talk. Because then you have the Bernie Sanders out there saying, there's millionaires and billionaires, we're going to tax the millionaires and billionaires. Of course, Bernie Sanders becomes a millionaire. And all of a sudden, he stops saying millionaires and billionaires. He starts saying, billionaires, 1%, 1%. Got to tax the 1%. 1% should pay for everything. Because the 1%, you know, they're the rich people. Well, let's get into the 2 and 3%, the upper 5%. They hate those people. They absolutely hate them. If you're working a job where you have most people who are working in a position where they're making more than $400,000 a year, working people who have a job, 9 to 5, whatever it is, and you're making that kind of money, it is usually because you paid a lot of dues to get to that position. If you're a doctor, for instance, and yeah, you're making good money, you took a risk. You disciplined yourself through school and more school and more school, got out of school with probably a huge amount of debt over your head, if you're a white man anyway. And we won't talk about the folks who get their schooling paid for because of DEI. I'm not even going to go there. That's almost immoral. And these folks are making this kind of money because they put the time and effort, some of them 6 to 8 years in school, with a huge amount of debt over their head that they're still, some of them are still paying on. And they get up into their 50s and 60s, and now they're making all this money. And the government says, you know what, we're going to tax that because you're making too much money. You're an evil rich person. Now, my wife and I's case, we both have professional positions, professional jobs. I also have a side business that I run. It's more like a business that my job is my side business, but it's a side job. But it's they're professional jobs. Very high level of responsibility in these jobs. And we worked hard to get there for a number of years. My wife worked on her master's degree in her 40s, and she worked on her doctorate in her 50s. She's still 29, but it's amazing how she did that. She worked very hard on those things. And yeah, she commands a decent salary in what she does. For what I do, I get paid a ridiculous amount of money. But I also... my business is one that's, it's a particular niche, my little business that I do. And apparently people like it and want to pay me more for it. I don't understand it. I don't know how I tripped and fell into this thing, but it's happening and it's happened and they throw money at me to do that as well. And if I don't do it, the government doesn't get anything. If I go out there and do my job and do my work, then the government thinks that they need to take some of that. They're going to take some of that. We're going to take your profits. Let's look at the definition. I think I've done this before. We're going to do it again today because that's what we do here on the show. We repeat ourselves several times over and over. It's not quite the Sean Hannity show, but it's close. What is communism? Let's just look at this definition here. This is the first part of this definition. It's just a definition that pops up on DuckDuckGo. Communism is a socio-political, philosophical, and economic ideology within the socialist movement. Within the socialist movement. Whose goal is the creation of a communist society, a socioeconomic order centered around common ownership of the means of production, distribution, and exchange that allocates products to everyone in the society based on need. Have you heard the term equity? Have you heard Kamala Harris's explanation of equity? Everyone's starting at the same place. Some need to be distribution. This needs to happen for more. So they need some more distribution. Where does the distribution come from? There are people now in this culture, in this society, who think that the government should just take care of everything, take care of all the problems. And this, the leftist cabal that is out there, has become very good at convincing you that when there's a problem, when society has a problem, when there's this date, when there's a problem, the government can step in and just fix it. We have to look to the government to fix those things. The sad state of affairs here is that we have this issue with inflation in this country. Now they're saying it's down to 3.3%. Of course, everybody's saying, no, that's just what it is right now. We look over the course of the past year or 2 years, and where prices are compared to how wages, wages are increasing. Wages are not increasing at the same rate that inflation is. It is still ridiculously out of control. And again, I the foundational core of that at the bottom of this equation is the price of oil, price of energy. Now, beyond that, that's if there was ever an argument for trickle-down economics, it is that. It's the energy issue. It's not giving corporations tax breaks and then having them pass those things down to their employees. It's energy prices is at the foundation of all of that. And then we can talk about tax incentives and everything else. It all goes hand in hand with each other. But I'm not an economist. I'm not an economic wizard. But there's some basic fundamentals that people can understand as a normal human being. You can understand these things if you just take some time to think about it and study on it a little bit. It's the basics of economics. Kamala Harris does not have even the basics of inflationary control in economics at all. They're probably having to brief her on everything. She was answering this question recently, and she wasn't even answering the question. She was just talking about what inflation is, and she was talking about this whole thing. And she, of course, wiggles herself around and uses her hands and does all this stuff. And she's looking down at her notes to give this explanation. That was not an explanation. All it was a talk about what inflation is. We know what inflation is. We're feeling it every day. We live in this pool. Don't stand up there on your lifeguard stand and tell us, you're wet because you're in the pool. You're such a wise one. This is just, it continues on like this kind of stuff. But see, they don't want to fix inflation. And if they can do things. There's a policy just definitely makes it, changes things. Their method of fixing inflation is to go after these price gougers, people who are gouging prices. Apparently, the reasons all these prices are going up is because of gouging. They're gouging you. We're going to go after that. They're charging too much for Netflix. They're charging too much for what's the one lady who's so popular? Can't think of her name. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. Oh, they're charging too much for Taylor Swift concerts. It's ridiculous. We need to control that. This whole thing. When it gets down to the definition, the very definition, the common ground here, it's a Marxist, Stalinist, really. It's kind of a common ownership, centered around the common ownership of the means of production, a socioeconomic order centered around the common ownership of the means of production, distribution, and exchange, the money system, that allocates products to everyone in society based on their need. Everybody gets the same outcome. No matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, everybody ends up with the same stuff at the end of the day. Equity. It's a new term for communism. Now, is communism all that bad? Is communism such a bad thing? I would contend that voluntary communism is not. When you have mandated communism, it is evil as the day is long. When you have voluntary communism, it is an incredibly powerful, almost to the point of being spiritual. Yeah. I'm not going to go down that wormhole. But they want this. They want this problem to exist. See, they don't like to have a crisis go to waste. So they will step in as the rescuers in this situation. Oh, we're going to step in and fix this. We're going to take more control, more regulation, more demanding of what people can do, what businesses can do. We're going to go after the businesses, take more control of them, fix their prices. This is the kind of thing they go after. And it's, again, this gets down to the ownership and of the means of production, distribution, and exchange. They want to have more control of businesses. I don't know if you remember, Hillary Clinton was running in 2016. She made this little speech about how she was going to take care of the energy companies, these oil companies, these big oil companies. They made more profits. Now you realize when they make profit, they take it and they reinvest it, and they do pass it on to their shareholders. The shareholders, by far, the majority of the shareholders are people with 401ks. But the profits that they typically will run back, they have to remain competitive, and they have to remain on the cutting edge here. They will reinvest those. You know how much money it takes to go into an area, explore for oil and drill and do all the things that they have to do, and all the EPA regulations that they have to abide by, and the environmental studies and all this stuff that has to happen before they can even start to touch a drill bit to the dirt. And then they have to do exploratory drilling, and sometimes it comes up, it's a gamble. Yeah, the rewards are great. They're the ones with the skills and the ability to do this stuff. Good for them. But they make them out to be the evil ones. And of course, as she steps up to the podium and she says, "I'm going to take those profits. We're going to do something else with those. We're going to totally stop." Okay, just going to step in and take those profits. I believe it was, who was the lady who said they're going to socialize? We're going to control the, she backed up really big time. I can't think of her name. She might not be in office now. She was out in California. And she made this comment about, taking over the oil companies. Government was going to completely take over the oil companies, which would be the means of production, distribution, and exchange of the oil companies. When you look at all the regulations that surround most industries and most businesses, we are teetering on the edge of government having complete control of the means of production, distribution, and exchange. They want the best of both worlds. They want the benefits of a free market. They want to control the free market. They want to be the ones in control of everything. This is what the CCP has done in China very, very effectively. They control the means of production, but they allow people to kind of just have just enough how you say, leeway, give them just enough leash to make it work. And of course, then they compete on the open market of the world. They don't want to see a world unless they dominate the world. They don't want to see the world be in a communist situation because they want to compete on the free market out in the world. So they don't want prices fixed for them. So I'm saying they're creating a crisis here. And their only way to fix it is to crack down on the people charging for their services. And they wonder why people are charging so much for their products and services. Well, it's because we just need to tax them more. And pass that money out to people so they can afford to pay more for their... It goes on and on and on. And they have no concept. And in my opinion, the people who really understand what's going on, they want this to happen. Most of the politicians are just their puppets. They just think this is just the way we're going to do it. This is the way it works. There's a guy, I heard this guy talking about today. He said, if you were sitting in a coffee shop and all of a sudden somebody ran in and said, the government just decided to pay off their $32 trillion in debt, they just printed the money and paid it off. He said that the entire place would just be, you know, you would just go crazy with that. What in the world just happened? Oh, no. I don't think most of the country understands the ramifications of that. Most of the country would sit there and go, well, they just print their money. See, they have all the money. They can just print it all. We could just sit at home and play our video games and they could just send us a check. It doesn't work that way. Oh, it works for some people that way. But not for long. One of the things, I think Margaret Thatcher may have been the one that said it. She said the problem with socialism is at some point you run out of spending, you know, you're spending other people's money. These people who are called, they're so benevolent. Oh, this is such a benevolent person in office. They made sure children got food. Children got food in this lunch program that was done up in Minnesota. Don't you know? The kids got fed up there, yeah, don't you know? They're so benevolent. The governor wasn't writing out a check from his own account, paying for kids' lunches. He made sure everyone else's money was getting used to pay for kids' lunches. And when you really look into the program, you find out that there was a whole lot of hanky-panky going on with that program. A lot of kids could have been fed with the kind of funding that was getting siphoned off from that program. This stuff always has a dark side to it. And anytime the government gets involved in collecting your funds and doing something with it, instead of you just going directly to a person and helping them. And unfortunately, we get so strapped with taxes that we can't afford to do that for somebody. I think our total tax. I'm going to look at this real quick here. I'm going to see if I can figure this out. Just to give you an idea. So that times point. To see if it's point. Okay, I think this is right. This sounds about right. The total withholdings, taxes, and everything that my home income, our combined income for the family here, that we paid last year, we paid out in withholdings. Now, this includes our health insurance and everything else that we paid out, not just our federal income tax, but federal, state, local, county taxes. This doesn't include property tax. $140,000. $140,000. That just blows my mind. That is ridiculous, first of all. what I could have done with that money, half of that money. Now, I will say this. There's just a whole societal problem that starts to happen with all of this when we start to realize, you know, when government steps in to be our savior with all the social programs. And there's no way to get out of this short form. There's no way to do it. We have gotten ourselves into this mess like the frog in the pot. And of course, I don't know that even actually is. I don't think it's real. I don't think you can put a frog in a pot and boil it if you just do it slowly enough. I don't think you can do that because I don't think a frog. You've never owned a frog. If that's the case, you've never been around a frog. They just jump. They jump for any reason. Get a frog that sits in a pot. Try it. Put a frog in a pot. See how long it stays there, even if you don't do anything with the water temperature. Just put a lid on it, and that kind of negates the point. Now, if you throw a frog in a pot of boiling water, he will jump out. If he can, if it's not, you know, he has enough time to do it, he'll jump out. Probably leave half of his skin behind, but he'll jump out. I'm just being silly. The whole point here is that they're continuing to encroach. Their answer to everything, and they feel like they have to answer to everything. They can't just come up with a solution that within society, this is what we need to do. We need to have incentives for this or that, or what are we going to do? They don't do it that way. They just make it. Oh, here comes my cute little kitty. They just make it so that the government's going to fix it. The government's going to be your savior. That's always their answer to everything in these situations. Where'd that kitty go? This is just one thing that they, you know, that they propose and do that kind of thing. Kamala has been giving the cold shoulder. Her campaign has been giving the cold shoulder to the media outlets. Now, here's what I think is going on in behind the scenes here with the media. I think about half of them, about 50%, not all of them, are starting to realize that it's because half of them, you know, kind of think a little more independent thought. They're not the ones at the top of their game. They're the ones who are, you know, maybe on the channel, but they're not always seen as a major anchor because those are the ones who are just totally sold out. That's why they're there. Caitlin Collins, by the way, I believe her former husband. There's a reason for why she's. Well, her former husband, I believe, worked in the CIA or the FBI. One of the two. I think that was high up in management at one of the alphabet soup organizations in the country. Of course, she's a major anchor on CNN. Did the town hall with Donald Trump, and here she is with those kinds of connections with the deep state. That's just. I think it was Andre Mitchell, her husband. Let's find out here real quick. Andre Mitchell, husband. Let's look at this. Pops up. Andre Mitchell is an American television journalist, anchor and commentator, news based on blah, 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 blah. Andre Mitchell was born blah, 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 blah. D.C. Mitchell is... with husband Alan Greenspan. Andre Mitchell. Her husband is Alan Greenspan. She married her second husband, then Federal Reserve Chairman Greenspan, on April 6th, 2000. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know who her first husband was. Oh, her first husband might... Oh, she's apparently been married to a couple of different people. I guess she was married to... the chief foreign affairs correspondent since then. She has been married to former Federal Reserve Chairman who's given to 1997. Blah, blah, blah. Now, Greenspan, the list. There's more. I don't know who she was married to before that. She was apparently somebody else that was high up in the who knows what. That's the kind of thing that it's like what. That's how these people they get in this rare air place and they live like this. Now, so Kamala is avoiding any kind of sit down interview because she's terrible at it. In the meantime, we're getting gaslit continually by the CNN and MSNBC world, legacy media out there that is telling us that. Oh, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, let's tell you all about what they said. Oh, it was the same. It just everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is a lie. And Elon Musk wants to take over the world, and he's a very evil person. But everybody needs to buy electric cars. So the government's going to step in and give all kinds of incentives to GM and Ford to make electric cars, not Tesla. California was trying to crack down on Tesla. We're trying to tell Tesla what kind of people they had to hire. They were telling them that they had to hire. They were doing two things to them. One is they were telling them to hire illegal aliens, migrants, refugees, telling them they didn't have enough of those people on board. And at the same time, they were being told that if they had to verify everybody's status before they hired them. Like you can't hire somebody that's not a U.S. citizen. How do you do this? There's no green card. How do you do this? Either way they did it, they were going to be fined. They moved out of California, went to Texas. See you later. That's just the way this kind of stuff happens. Now, it's progressively going to get worse. There's going to be more and more state. Now, can you imagine 20, 30 years ago, a state trying to do that to somebody? It's more and more acceptable. It will become more and more acceptable in more and more states. Even Texas will eventually start to turn purple and then more blue. It's just probably going to happen that way. It's the sleeper states out there that people don't know about. I'm not going to mention where they are because I live in one of them. People don't realize that are just as good and sometimes better than Texas. With regard to their laws and personal stuff, it's still bad. It's not. Don't get me wrong. There's still some things they need to fix here, but it's many of them are really decent places to live. Property taxes are low. Property costs are low, and the cost of living is down compared to some places in the country. And if you can make a decent amount of money in these places, you can actually start to get ahead. You can actually start to work your way out of the hole. But don't do that. What's not going to happen in places like California, in places that are extremely high dollar places to live. Places on the East Coast and California and even certain parts of Florida and Texas, for that matter. There's places that you just can't afford. Now, that's the way it is in any state, I guess. There's places you can't afford, but it's just one of those things where it's much more affordable to live here. The kind of home I have here with the property I have, I could never, ever afford in California. It wouldn't even make a down payment. It might make a down payment. It's sold for the right amount of money. But it's why bother selling something that's paid for and turning around and going back into debt for the same thing? It makes no sense whatsoever. Because it's dry heat? I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. It's the only benefit there. The water tastes terrible. Anyway. Let's talk about this no tax on tips thing. All of a sudden, Kamala Harris, by the way, a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, when Trump started introducing this no tax on tips thing, the media came out with all these explanations of why this won't work and it's going to take too much money out of the federal treasury and blah, 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 blah. All these reasons for, well, it's going to cost this and it's going to make this go up and that go up and nobody's going to make as much Social Security and blah, 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 blah. You know what? If you stop taking taxes out of my check, I guarantee you I will do something better with that money, whether I give it away or whether I invest it. Either way, it's going to be better than what that Social Security is going to be for me later on in life. I guarantee you. It's gotten way out of hand. The social safety net has gone way overboard on this whole thing. Now, at the same time, we have a situation where we have part of President Trump's proposal here. Now, he can't just make it happen. It has to go through Congress. Obviously, it has to go through the House. No tax on tips and no tax on Social Security. Now, I recently heard, of course, now this causes the left to eat itself. Because what happened was here, Kamala Harris came out with the same proposal. No tax on tips for hospitality workers. Whatever hospitality is, I don't know what hospitality is. Let's look it up and see if it even is even a word. Hospitality. Hospitality. It doesn't even show up. It's not even a word. She was reading it off and she read it wrong. For hospitality workers. Let's just see what comes up with hospitality here. Anything comes up at all. Sorry, you're an idiot. That's what it's going to say. Say you're, this doesn't mean anything. It's not even trying. Hospitality. Here we go. Hospitality. It respelled it for me. Did you mean search for hospitality? Or did you mean hospitality? Hospitality definition. What is hospitality? Yeah, okay. It won't even give you, it's not even a word. Now, having said that, we have this just bizarre, weird stuff going on. And I actually saw on Facebook an interesting, this guy who is obviously has TDS on Facebook, a guy I used to work with. This is many years ago, probably, 20 years ago. Worked with him several times and seemed like a nice guy. But he is, I found out later on when I went back to work at this particular institution, I went back there and he was still there. And come to find out, he had turned into a radical leftist. I mean, just Trump deranged syndrome knucklehead. Older guy, my age. Probably maybe, he's probably about 3 years older than me. Just totally nuts. And he's posting stuff on Facebook now. Of course, and what gets me about this, folks, social media is no place to start posting stuff about, at least not Facebook. Don't get on there and start talking about social, political stuff that, don't get me wrong, you just do it all you want. I'm not telling you not to. What I'm saying is don't do it and expect that you're going to win hearts and minds, folks, unless you've got some really good truth that you're putting out there. If you're just getting on and you're going on a rant about somebody and what they say, and you're probably not going to change anybody's mind. All you're going to do is you're going to end up with a little bitty cocoon. People are going to stop. They can do this thing where we don't have to listen to, like, avoid these person's posts for the next 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is, or forever. I don't want to see this person posting posts anymore. You still be their friend, but you don't see their posts. You don't get told about them. Because they just go off in this little cocoon. Of course, all their friends that agree with them all jump in and pile on. Once in a while, you get somebody that pushes back. Well, this guy has people on there that actually push back. And I appreciate some of those people, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going to get involved in this. I don't get involved in those kinds of discussions online. First of all, texting and what you say is very difficult. You can say things so differently when you speak them than you can when you type them. Now, I listen to a lot of videos, a lot of news. This is the new thing now. People are typing out articles and writing things, and then they put them on YouTube with an AI voice, and they have this background. They're doing this all the time for YouTube channels to get all this stuff. And it is, it drones on. They'll have a 30-minute video that drones on with all this information. And it has and of course, they use clickbait on the particular thumbnail and all this other stuff that they're doing, and it's ridiculous what they do with this stuff. it really gets annoying. And it's, I get so sick of hearing the AI voices. Now, mostly because I can recognize the voices because they use the same ones all the time. But the same time is that there's about 15 of them, 10 or 15 of them that they use. But the way they pronounce some words, but it's the cadence and it's the way they say things and it's the way they read them off. And it just really starts to drive me nuts because it is so monotonous and droning. There's no dramatic pauses. There's no inflection. There's no intonation at proper times. Here's an example. I didn't say she stole the book. Now, how many different ways can you say that? How many words are there in that sentence? You can say it as many words as there are in that sentence. I didn't say she stole the book. There are 7 different ways of saying that. Actually, there's more than that if you get into complex intonation. But it's let's just say there's 7 different ways. And let me give you an example. I didn't say she stole the book. 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 The word the probably, I don't know that I can do anything with that. Maybe there's 6 basic ones. I didn't say she stole the book. You see where I'm going with this? AI has no way of doing that. This is why, as a voiceover artist, I'm not that threatened by AI because there's more and more content being created every day online. Some of it can be done. There are people who are using AI that would never use a voiceover artist. So just because, that's 20% of the content out there is using AI now for the voiceover, that doesn't bother me. Because there's 30% more people using voiceover now than there were a year ago. So there's still 10% more using voiceover. And by the way, this just makes good professional voiceover work more in demand. Because people are using AI and they're getting sick of it, or they just use it because it's cheap and easy. And people hear cheap. Now, granted, 10 years from now, maybe AI is going to be that much better. And you can actually put in there, please do this in this particular style or whatever it is. And they'll have dramatic pauses. And they'll have more sarcasm in some of the things they say. Sarcasm. That's probably the British way of saying it. Sarcasm. Controversy. I heard a guy the other day say controversy. I was like, what is that? Oh, controversy. He just wants to say controversy. They have a different way of saying everything, just to be contrary or contrary. Contrary. Whatever they say, I don't know. Different ways of saying everything. So this is, it's interesting, a little kitty's in here with my dog. My dog is also in here in the sound booth with me. Going to be a crowded place, 2,400 square feet here, and everybody's got to be in this little 10-foot square place. So I have just interesting stuff with all this stuff, with the AI and everything that's going on. So I don't even remember how I got started in this down this road. So this guy on Facebook, he goes on these little rants about stuff. Well, now they're caught in this little web of disinformation here, because what's happening with them is, initially when Trump came out with the idea of no tax on tips, they had all these reasons why this wouldn't work and how it was going to destroy the economy and all blah, 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 and businesses are going to restructure their payment systems to pay people tips. Well, good. It's great. So now Kamala Harris comes out with this idea of no tax on tips. Just completely her own idea. Nobody else's idea. It's just her original thought. She also had this great idea. If you have a chance to watch Mr. Reagan, it's Chris, what's his name? He's been putting out these Kamala commercials now lately. One of them is this Kamala's latest redefined herself now. And of course they have her The video is all Donald Trump with Kamala's head on top of her all throughout the whole thing. And, you know, and then it's, I'm going to build a wall. It's completely my idea. I'm going to build this wall, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, there's all the stuff that Trump does, has done, and will do. And it's all her, completely her own idea. It's my original thoughts. Nobody's had this idea before. It's kind of funny. So we have this situation where we have all this going on, and it's it's just it's hilarious, actually. So now this guy's trying to defend the original thought of no tax on tips and why it's bad for the economy. At the same time, this is Kamala's idea now. So how was he going to do with this? Of course, the media comes out and says, "Oh, this is a great idea. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, we got something finally from her economic program." And of course, it's her competitor's idea because she doesn't have an original thought. Her only original thought is, "Well, I'm going to go after people who are all this. I'm going to all this price fixing, price gouging. So government's going to take over, putting caps on prices, bringing costs down. That's what I did in California. California's prices are ridiculous. I think she went after one particular business." So, this is where we are. We have all this stuff going on. Of course, now that's one of the arguments this guy had. When I wanted to jump in and say something at this point, he said one of the problems is you're not going to pay as much on Social Security. You're not going to get paid as much in Social Security because that doesn't get filed now, so you're not paying into the Social Security system, so you won't get paid as much when you retire. My first thought was, yeah, but you're not going to have income taxes on Social Security under Trump, so you're actually going to be taking in more, even though you didn't. Of course, I'm sure he would just, you know, he would love to hear that. Sure. He would just flip out over the whole thing. So I didn't bother chiming in at that point because there's no reason. I'm not going to change anybody's mind. I'm not going to win hearts and minds in this Facebook argument. And that's how I got down to the whole AI thing, because when you start typing in comments, people don't understand the inflection, the meaning of your word. They can't tell how kind and how patient you're trying to be. They just read it. When you read something in opposition to what they say, they just hear it as shouting, even though it's not and in fact, it people have the same reaction. If you shout at someone or if you write something in all caps, they feel like they're being yelled at. They actually, studies have shown this. You have the same, the hypothalamic reaction or whatever it is. You have the same reaction viscerally within you as if you were being shouted at. As if someone was yelling at you when you type something in caps, because we've been so trained now to realize that is shouting. You're just reading things in caps, or as I'm saying right now, you're reading things in caps. You're hearing me talking in caps now, right now. I'm talking in caps. I think you're all very wonderful people. I love you so much. It's all in caps. I'm yelling it at you right now. How do you feel about that? I have chai in my cup. Oh, stop yelling at me. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling about what's in my cup. And that's what I think our society has become oversensitive. When you make a statement, when you ask somebody to, hey, I didn't quite hear what you said. Can you please repeat that? I said, do it this way. Okay, don't get mad at me about it. I just didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry it upsets you that you have to repeat yourself. Because you were, you had food in your mouth and you were turned the other direction and you were in another room, I didn't hear what you said. Not that my wife has ever done that to me. Anyway, so I have, there's just a lot of issues going on in our country right now, a lot of our societal issues. There was a guy who recently was just driving through Atlanta in the middle of the night and recording what was going on around him. Folks, I've spent a lot of time in Atlanta, certain parts of Atlanta, and there's a lot of, you just don't go out after certain hours. And if you do, you need to really keep your head on a swivel. Need to really be careful what you're doing. And it looks like zombie land. It was, I have, I have been to foreign countries. I've been to places that would be called third world countries, which I guess now is that's a racist term as well. Developing countries. And I guess the tough part of it is this looked worse than what I saw in some countries like that. The just the general poverty, the attitudes of people on the street, the general yelling and screaming and cussing at each other, just for no reason, just seemed ridiculous. So, I guess it's time to move on. I've got the animals are, you know, they're just looking for my attention now. It's starting to become a little ridiculous. Tomorrow I'm going to have more audio. I've got time today. It's going to rain. I was going to do some work outside today. It looks like I'm not going to be able to do that. So I'm going to have more time to do some things inside, which also equates to I'm going to have more time to put together some audio for you for tomorrow. A few things I want you to hear, mostly Kamala's reaction to some things, as well as some things that have been going on the campaign trail. But I want to get into talking about the wars, the imminent wars that are potentially happening, and some of the statements that have been made about Iran, Israel, the issues that are going on over in Ukraine right now. There's some very weird developments over in Ukraine right now, some things that have happened. Ukraine is actually making some offensive moves into some places that Russia considers to be their territories. It's a very tough time to be here, folks. God bless. I will talk to you tomorrow, and have a great evening. That's the cat.